Well, grab your pew Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Colossians, and we're going to read from chapter 3 and then also 1 John, which is a few books behind that. So this morning we're in our fourth Sunday of ugliness in our lives, of sinfulness that we have as human beings, and you can see where we started and we're in this progression, and today we are into ugly actions of how we react, not only physically, but your body language, and maybe the things that you do in your life that are not godly. And so we're going to learn about that from the book of Colossians. And Paul writes to the church in Colossae because they have some issues. And they're figuring it out. How do we love people well in the midst of everything that's going on? And so that's what we're going to read this morning. So let's follow along. All right? Follow along with me, and I'll read to you this morning, beginning at verse 12. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. It's a pretty tall order, ain't it? That's a big list to do. So turn with me to the book of John, 1 John, that is. And then we're going to read verses chapter 4, 8 through 12 this morning. It says, God's love and ours is what the title is this. A little snippet here in the scriptures. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and send his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's your word that speaks to us in a new and fresh way this morning. Lord, I pray that these words are yours and that, Lord, as these words leave my mouth, that they resonate with your people today. Lord, I pray for those that are gathered here that are listening, Lord, that you bless them with the same spirit. Lord, that they receive your word today in a way that they can apply it to their daily lives. Lord, may you challenge us, may you speak to us in not only a new way, but in a way that maybe we've never heard before. And so may we leave here today being restored or renewed with hope, Lord, and also knowing that we have work to do in our lives. In Jesus I pray, amen. Years ago, there was a large statue of Christ that was built high in the Andes on the border between Argentina and Chile. And so there was a war that had taken place between these two countries. And so they came to a place of peace, and they resurrected this statue of Jesus Christ right on the border. And so things are going okay until the Chileans realize that the statue of Jesus, he had his back turned to their country. And they were mad. They're upset at what was going on. And so by the work of the Holy Spirit, there was a Chilean newspaper writer that wrote a message to the people of Chile as they're beginning to kind of get up in arms and worried about what was going on. And he said this to the people of Chile: the people of Argentina need more watching over than us Chileans. And people calmed down. They realized, okay, I can buy into that, right? Their actions subsided. And so here's what I want to think about this morning. It's at Christmas time when we often see two sides of people. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. We see the best of humanity, and we see the worst of humanity all at one time. How many would you agree with that kind of a statement, right? We're singing Silent Night today, and tomorrow you're going to go to Sioux Falls Christmas shopping, you're going to hit 41st Street, and how would you ever sing Silent Night there, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about in your life, these things that go on. And so that's what I want to challenge you about today. So my question for you as we get started here this morning, how can these two extremes happen all at once? And you see I got a picture up there of the spirit and of the flesh that we fight in our lives. So the Bible tells us that we have these two natures that are constantly warring against us, that we need to figure out and we need to live within in our lives. So one nature inspires us to love people and to live according to the Word of God. We call that the Spirit of God living within us. The other nature is the flesh. When you and I become selfish and we want things of this world, or we do things that we're not very proud of because we have these wrong fleshly desires that come from within our actions. So the battle begins when you're young. Most of you can maybe remember your childhood, and it's something that you will fight until the good Lord calls you off of this earth. It's always going to be there, this battle that's within. But this morning, what I want to talk to you about, by the grace of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you can overcome the desires of the flesh. You need to be aware of them, though, so we're going to talk about that this morning. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in the book of Colossians. They struggled. They tried to figure out, okay, God calls us to live this way, but yet when I get out in the real world and I start living life, my body does things that I don't really care for. The desires of the flesh. The actions that you and I take that are ugly. You ever regret some ugly actions in your life? Have you ever had that happen? Things that go on that you're not proud of. But you stand here today being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I hope that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross has had some kind of an effect on your life that will change the way that you live. I hope and I want your actions to be different in the way you live your life here upon this earth as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because you and I are called not only to say the right things, but also to do the right things. Actions. Right? They're just as important as the things that I have going up here. Your words, your thoughts, your motives, and now your actions today. What does that look like? How many of you desire that you want your ugly actions to become godly actions in your life? That you could change those things, right? You all have that desire to live a better moral life, a better life that's pleasing to God. We all have that desire. So I'm going to share with you this morning of some tools of how we can do that, what that should look like from day to day. Actions that are a blessing to others. I want to leave you with this. You start rolling this around. They don't happen by accident. They're not natural for you and I. You have to produce them. You have to seek them. You have to go after them in the way that you live your life. You are designed with ugly actions inside of you. I don't have to tell you those ugly actions because you already know them. You have them in your life. So do I. Right? That's our sinful nature. But this season reminds us of a few other things this morning. If I could jump to the next slide. Colin, can you jump the next slide for me? Thank you. This season reminds us of a few very important things. People do crazy things in the name of Christmas. All right? Now, I got a few examples for you up here. How many of you, last night, Dory and I, we went down to Lamar's and we went to Christmas Acres. Have any of you been south of Lamar's, a little bit to the west? You've seen Christmas Acres? A few of you had. There's literally, there's a five-acre acreage. I think it's the Shetler family? I believe we read last night on the sign out there. They've been putting lights up. This is not their picture, by the way. They've been putting lights up for 25 years. And we were joking last night because I think they have to start in July to get everything out there. There's like 300 Santa Clauses out there on one side of the road all lit up. And it's just amazing the amount of lights that they put out there. But here's my point. And God bless them because they're doing quite the work down there. And if you get time, go see it. But here's the point. People do crazy things at Christmas time, don't they? Right? All for the name of Christ, we think, in our lives. Let me just get your brain stirred up here a little bit this morning about Christmas time. How many of you change your schedules because of Christmas? How many of you, your attitudes change when you hit the Advent season, you know Christmas is coming, right? How about this one? How many of you, your budget just goes right out the door when Christmas comes? Grandmas? How's the budget looking? Right? Yeah. You see what people do when they get into the Advent season? And why? Why do we do this? Because it's Christmas, right? It's Christmas. Our actions change in our life. We want to express joy and happiness and all those kinds of things. But here's what Paul's trying to say to you and I. The way that you reorient yourself for Christmas and you hang up hundreds of lights or your budget goes out the door and you want to show love and joy, Paul says that you and I, as Christians, that's how we should look in the world every day compared to the rest of the world. You need to reorient your life as a follower of Jesus Christ in a way that people see your loving actions, not your ugly ones. Paul says that you and I need to live in a unique and countercultural way to the way the rest of the world lives and be willing to do that. In fact, he even goes, if you read the scripture, he goes, this is what I expect. I don't expect anything different. This is what I'm calling for. So I read you that list, which we'll go through here in just a minute. He says, this is what it should look like, your actions in your life. So let's get started into our scripture here just a little bit. Ephesians 3:17 is the first verse I want to kind of focus on. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So everything you do in life, right, whether word or deed, now deed's an action, that's where I want to go with that word this morning, needs to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how much of it should I do? What's Paul telling you? 80%? Nope. All of it. Everything you do should be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that you're not going to be perfect and you're not going to do that because you and I live in the flesh, right? We're human beings. We're not perfect. You don't have it all together. But this should be your desire. So let me ask you a few questions about your walk here this morning. If you were to look over the past month, how much of your life is based on your relationship with Jesus? That he's at the forefront of your mind in all that you do. When you're struggling at work with another employee, or you're having issues with maybe one of your children in your house, or you know that you're not getting along very good with a brother or sister, or your neighbors, it's not going well between you, right? What's that looking like for you? What percentage of your words or deeds are centered on Christ? How many of us have had actions that do not look like Jesus? How many of you have had actions that are selfish and self-serving? And I imagine that we could all say, yep, we all have had them, right? Because you're human and it's going to happen. But you must fight that desire. That's what Paul calls us to. Because our ugly actions, just like these ugly things we've been learning about, they hurt people. So Paul says, make sure your actions reflect God's grace, God's gratefulness, Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to think about. You just don't wake up each day with godly actions instead of ugly ones. That does not happen. That is not natural for you and I. So you get to make a choice of what actions you get to use in your life. That's your choice every day that you wake up. How many of you in here love to shop for clothes? Anybody care to do that? Right? Yeah, I see some of you down there. Yeah, my husband only knew how much I spent, right? All right, so here, I want to share a few things with you this morning. So Paul says, it's a lot like choosing the clothes that you're going to wear for the day, your actions, all right? So if your clothes, now, I gotta stop for a minute here. So most of you know that I like to work with the youth and stuff like that, with Anita, and that's its own story, right? Working with Anita and youth. Okay, so here's the point. I want to get some lingo going for you this morning. Grandpa and grandmas, listen to some of the language I'm going to use, because if you can talk this, they're going to think you're pretty hip, all right? Or you need to get this, okay? I had to do a little research on this, so this didn't come natural for me. So I talked to some young people, and I said, hey, if you're wearing really cool clothes and you got it all going on, right? And some of you got it going on this morning with your ugly sweaters. I said, what term do you use today, young people, that you've got it all figured out? And they said, you've got drip. What? Yeah. If you got it all going on and you're looking in your best, you've got drip. Like it's dripping, right? And then here's another lingo term I want you to use this morning. Instead of using outfit, they shorten it up and they say, hey, that's a nice fit you got on. Pretty cool, right? Yeah. So some of you out there this morning, you got drip when it comes to ugly sweaters. You got a good fit out there this morning. All right? Some of the young people are going, Rob, you don't quite got it figured out yet. But they won't forget what they heard this morning, I'll guarantee you that. So here's my point. Your actions are no different. So my challenge for you this morning is, when it comes to your actions in life, do you got drip? Do you? Do people see it? That you have it going on? That's my question for you this morning. Because the world sees you today as Christians, especially during Advent. How are you acting out there as you live life from day to day? Because this is what Paul says. If you have drip, you have this. All right? And I'm not telling you how to be all perfect. But as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he says this to you and I. Clothe yourselves, right, to the best of your ability, get some drip going on in your life with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. That's your actions that he says, this is how you should be looking in the world. The Greek word for clothe, or to put on, is the word enduo. And I think I have that on the screen this morning in the red box. This is literally what it means. It means that you sink into a garment or to cover yourself completely. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. Don't just do part of it, right? But all of it in your life with these things. And by the way, you know, when you study the languages and stuff, you know, we study verbs and nouns and pronouns. So you study the Greek language here and what Paul is word. This is an active word. It means you need to work at it. These things that he's listed for you and I in our lives. You need to choose them. Just like you put on clothes each morning, you get to choose, am I going to be compassionate and loving and kind and gentle when you get out of bed tomorrow morning? When it's 10 below zero and you got to drive to work and you got a flat tire, right? That's what it looks like, people. What does that look like? So in order to love people well and not to have those ugly actions, you must be intentional. So do you got drip for Jesus? That's my question for you today. I imagine this is going to make for some great conversations on the way home in the car this morning, right? Especially our young people. Do you love people well? Do you realize that the decisions that you make each day about the actions that you're going to take? So let me just think about it this way. How do you treat your friends? How do you treat your spouse? How do you treat your children? Because those actions matter to God in your life and what you do with them this morning. So let me just break these down for you this morning. I got this list here I put together of some of these, and we'll go through them quickly here. So Paul says, clothe yourself with compassion, all right? Now, I truly believe that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that God gives you the gift of compassion. And some people have more compassion than others. Would you agree with that statement? Right? Yeah. Okay. But here's what it should look like, right? Compassion is the ability to see a situation from someone else's vantage point and understand what they're feeling or going through. Your heart hurts with their heart. Now, it doesn't mean you always get it, but you know they're hurting, and you hurt because they hurt. And you have a desire to do something for them that will maybe help them or encourage them or sustain them through whatever it is in this that they're going through in this broken world. That's compassion, right? And then he says, put on kindness. Sounds like a simple word, but it's much harder to do than what you realize. Kindness is what happens when we're always looking for practical ways to serve each other. And here's the point I want to make with that. Kindness is going to visit the sick. Kindness is going to visit the elderly. Kindness is knowing that there's a family in need and you're buying groceries for them. That's kindness, right? Kindness is somebody that's maybe dealing with depression and discouraged, or they're homebound, and you write a letter to them, encouraging them, to bless them. You see, kindness is acting when you're able to make a difference. Action. Right? What are you doing with that in your life? And then we get on to humility. By the way, this is a lot of clothes. Humility. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. You become more aware of those around you, right? You're humble. You love others. You put others before yourself. That's humility in your life, right? God calls to live. Jesus is the best example of this for you and I to see. And he says, follow this. Look like me, is what he says. Don't make the world about you. And then there's gentleness. I always like this. Another word might be meekness. Maybe you've heard that before in the Beatitudes. But here's what I want you to get. Because right away when we start using this type of a word, we're thinking, well, that's not very strong, right? But here's the definition I want to give you this morning, and you've heard me say this before. When you're gentle or you're meek with others, it means that you have a controlled strength. You have the power to go into a situation, to assess what's going on, to be loving and kind, and make a difference. All right? Now, how many of you were here a few weeks ago when I had the Christmas Vacation National Lampoons up there? Remember that slide? Yeah, some of you are already laughing already, right? All right? So what was his name again? Remind me. Clark, right? He gets his Christmas bonus, and he flies off the handle. That is not an example of gentleness, right? Gentleness is somebody that can step into that situation, can be self-controlled, controls the situation, understands it, and by the Spirit of God, they do what God calls them to do. And they make a difference in the world that you and I live in. That's what gentleness looks like. It's not a word that describes a wimp. Right? I mean, you think about this is a person who will step into an injustice in the faith, because we have a lot of injustices in this world, but they'll step into the middle of that ring and they're willing to take shots in the name of Jesus Christ. You've seen people like that. They get a lot of arrows shot at them, don't they? But yet they don't back down. They stand firm, they stand strong. Because they know they come with that gentle spirit. This is what's right. That's meekness. That's gentleness as a Christian. I mean, Jesus, once again, modeled it very, very well. Right? He's going to the cross. They're beating the snot out of him. They're going to stab him. They're going to kill him. They're going to crucify him. And he says what to his people? Forgive them, for they not know what they do. That's gentleness. Right? What action does he portray? What does that look like in your life? Here's one more I want to share with you. This is the hardest one for me. It's patience, right? And I love the definition. It says that we can translate this word as a long suffering. Right? How many of you love to suffer? Put them up there high. Can't see anybody out there, right? A long suffering, being patient in the midst of somebody that drives you nuts. That's simply what it means. Somebody that you don't get along with very well, somebody that pushes all your buttons. God says that's where you need to be patient, right? And I'm going to be the first. I'm not the most patient person. I want things to happen now, right? You ask my boys, they'll tell you, Dad, if you just listen to what you preach, right? Oh, I got them all three sitting in front pew here this morning looking at me. But I love them dearly. Patience, right? But none of them are natural, are they? God just doesn't, I should say this, you don't come with a natural ability to be extremely patient in all situations, do you? So God says you need to put the clothes on. You got to wear these things. You got to work at it. Let me finish with the last one. I think it's the most important one, in that we need to realize that love is an action. And that comes out of the book of 1 John that I read to you. Verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Because if you don't have love in your heart, pretty much what that says is that you don't know God. You don't have a faith, is what that says. Because if you're truly pursuing God, you're going to have the ability to love others in your life. And then it says, for God is love. And so if you're going to love people well, you need to be active with it. You have to show it. You have to say it. You have to do things that prove your love for others in your life. And let me say this too, that when you start to show it and you start to move in that direction, the ugly actions that you and I have, they start to go away. They start to leave your life. You start to look different, right? And there's a huge church word that we use for this that sometimes we don't always understand, but I just told you what it is, and that's sanctification. You're growing in the love of God. You're growing in the ways of God throughout your whole entire life. It's a process that you and I go through in our lives. Sanctification. Loving others well. Learning to be like Jesus in the way that we act. So it's Christmas. Next week, I want you to think about Christmas this morning. When Jesus came, God knew full well how this is going to play out, why he sent Christ into the world. You know it, right? For our sins. But how selfless was that? How many of you are willing to give up one of your children? That's how selfless the Father is for you and I. And so you have a choice to make. You can bless others. You can show your love to others. You can make Jesus famous in the world that you live in by the way you live your life. Or you can choose not to. And we know what that looks like already. You just have to turn on the TV and you see it every day. So here's your homework. It's on the bottom of the screen, the red box. So this week, I want you to choose one person or one family, all right? And offer them sacrificial love. Whatever that looks like for you. And I imagine you already have that person in your mind, or you have that family picked out that needs to hear from you, needs to be loved by you, needs to see Jesus in you. That's your homework. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray today for our actions. Lord, Paul is so good at teaching us how we're supposed to live in this world. Lord, the clothes that we're supposed to wear. Lord, help us to make that choice every day in our lives. Lord, we pray that you fill us with your Spirit. Lord, may you guide our thoughts, our words. Lord, our motives and our actions in our lives. Lord, empower us with the power that you've given us. In Jesus I pray, amen.